Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with Nima Romani right now. We are discussing the case, a new case, so to speak, against Dennis Rader, BTK. At first, it looked like kind of a stretch, but now it's starting to look more and more solid that maybe one of these cases is in fact connected to him. There's been many over the years that have been looked at and they didn't quite match, but the case out of Osage County, Oklahoma, it very much looks like his signature, including Dennis's comments that seem to match up to him having an interest in taking a young girl from a laundromat, which is exactly what happened in this case. Obviously, he's not getting out anytime soon. He's going to die in prison. From a legal standpoint, from a litigious standpoint, where does something like this go? We're talking about a murder that occurred in 1976. If he is this person of interest right now, but if they do charge him with this crime, does he admit? Would this be something where if he doesn't admit, it would go to some sort of a trial? How is this look this many years out, considering he is also 78 years old?
Yeah, so when I'm looking at this case, Tony, I'm looking at really sort of three factors here. The first is, of course, you know, the victims, right? Sure. Even though, you know, he's serving life, you know, the folks that have lost a loved one that's been missing for so many years, they deserve that closure, that justice. You know, that's why you see people like Dahmer, or even recently, right? You have Epstein.
Yeah.
Weinstein, right? Yeah. He's in New York State prison. He's been writ out to California. Why? I mean, he's going to die in New York, but you want to give the victims the justice that they deserve. Obviously, murder victims deserve the most. But setting that first factor aside, I think one thing that's sort of looming over all this is the death penalty. An important fact here is that Kansas did not have the death penalty until 1994. Mm-hmm. So law enforcement, prosecutors, they really wanted to put Rader to death. I mean, mm-hmm. He's one of the worst serial killers in U.S. history. So they were trying to find a case that would qualify him for the death penalty. So they couldn't find it in Kansas. Maybe they can find it in a Missouri or in Oklahoma. Some of those states reinstated the death penalty much faster. You know, the Supreme Court revived it in actually 1976, I believe. So that's an important year. So if you can get a death penalty qualified case, then maybe you have a chance of finally putting Dennis Rader to death. And then the third factor, of course, is, look, I mean, here's someone in Rader that, you know, took pride in his work, right?
He would
write letters to the media and so forth. You know, he's doing life. Maybe he's not going to plead because he wants to just get out and have a, you know, 2 or 3 month vacation in Missouri or Oklahoma. Get out and, you know, he likes the press. He likes the publicity. So maybe that's why he's not admitting to it.
It's been very curious watching Dennis over the last year. He's been making a lot of comments on other cases where he'd otherwise been fairly silent and not a lot of people picking up on anything that he would say. But we've been hearing headlines from him all year commenting about Brian Koberger, commenting about Rex Huerman and others. He seemed to have, I think, found a little niche where people were paying attention to him, which I'm sure he loves, because that's what his MO has always been. And he's almost been someone that people have gone to in a real sick way to get his, like, what does Rader think about this? He's kind of like these people. Now this is solely on him. The spotlight is on him directly. And as he admitted to the other crimes nearly 20 years ago when he was arrested and then arraigned in Wichita, he just laid it all out in court. There was no Dennis Rader trial, if anyone remembers. He flat out admitted his guilt. In this case, though, I don't know. It has the signatures of him. Even if it is him, I don't know that he is just going to give it up that easy. My thought is the exact same thing. Does he want to take the ride and see what it's like to be tried in court over this? He has nothing to lose at this point, quite honestly.
No, you're right, Tony. He's free riding now, so might as well get some more attention. Sick attention, obviously, if you're Raider. And you're absolutely right. He's commenting on Herman, saying, you know, this guy copied me. I mean, it's just so it's just like my mind is blown. You know, I'm surprised he doesn't have his own podcast from Kansas State Prison commenting on all these cases. He's going to be the next murder commentator.
Yeah.
But yeah, you nailed it. So when it comes to what Raider is going to do, obviously he's very unpredictable. He's a next level sociopath, narcissist. His own daughter has come out and said just kind of terrible things about him. Yeah. One thing interesting that she said, though, is she said that he was offered some sort of transactional immunity to come clean on these murders.
Yeah.
To give those victims the closure. And, you know, so far he hasn't taken them up on it. Obviously, I don't know if what his daughter's saying is true or she's really in the loop on all this. But what's sort of fascinating about her is, you know, we've talked a lot, you know, in Herman and other cases, you and I, Tony, about this familial DNA.
Yeah.
And she was instrumental, not, you know, intentionally, but they matched, I believe, some DNA from her pap smear that she gave to one of the victims. And that's sort of what broke this case wide open. So I think that's just an interesting component. We talked about Herman and familial DNA, obviously Golden State Killer, other folks. But I mean, it's really giving law enforcement an advantage that they didn't have, you know, 10, 20 years ago.
It's something that seems to be really kind of confounding a lot of people, including Carrie Rawson, who's his daughter. The woman, Kathleen Ramsland, who wrote the autobiography on Berger. I had her on just about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And just incidentally, I didn't even predict this was about to happen. We were just having an interesting conversation about BTK. And even she said that, you know, I don't know that there's any more out there that he hasn't confessed to. But with this one, I don't know. I think even his daughter, Carrie, he's not 100% thinking it might be him. But I think this is the first time since his admission of all those other crimes that we're this close to it possibly being another Dennis Rader victim that we've not known about.
Yeah. So it does have a sort of hallmark. So it's interesting to see, you know, we see Rader in court and, you know, what his attorneys try to do. It's not really going to matter, obviously, but it will be a spectacle to say the least.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.